Welcome to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. We're trying to figure out how to do this thing, the mom thing, the entrepreneur thing, while trying to turn all the lemons into lemonade.
And figuring out how to grow our own little lemonade stands we've started, but metaphorically.
Yeah, they get it.
I'm Shaylee Murphy, an interior designer and mom of one with one on the way.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer and mom of four. Shaylee, before I used FreshBooks Cloud Accounting, you want to know how I would remind someone that they still needed to pay me?
I'm afraid. Did you say pay me?
Step one, I'd feel really anxious and I'd have to turn on like Eye of the Tiger. And then I'd write down an email or a text and I'd be all like, hey, I know you're super busy.
I'm so sorry.
But now I literally just click set up auto reminders and I don't even know that they're happening.
And the person like pays you, right?
Yeah, I have so much more money now.
You're not asking them, FreshBooks is asking them. Guys, FreshBooks helps you avoid having that awkward talk with your client about past due payments. FreshBooks automates the late payment email reminder so you can spend less time chasing down payments and more time working your magic. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our listeners. And to claim it, you just go to FreshBooks.com/SK and enter Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
FreshBooks. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, pay me.
This recording, how far along are you?
I will be in my third trimester in like a half a week.
Yeah.
So that would be 27 and a half weeks.
Yep.
My baby's eyes are opening.
She looks beautiful. Let me describe her. She looks gorgeous. She's in a cute, like, oversized shirt.
I've given up on life.
Heather. She's drinking a Starbucks that says...
It's decaf. Relax.
It's decaf. Relax.
Because Katie picked it up again and she writes fun things on my Starbucks.
That was for your audience, not for...
Thank you.
Well, maybe for you too.
That was for everyone. It's for everyone. It's decaf. Relax.
Don't judge me.
Did I tell you about the time I went to the airport and I got ordered two coffees for me and Jonathan on one of our work trips? And the lady was bringing them to me and she goes, oh, did you want one of these to be decaf? And I had to say...
Yes.
No. No, I said no. I was like, I get one a day. I get one. I get 2 8-ounce cups a day. I like broke it down. Like I get 2 8-ounce cups a day. So one small coffee is like really like 2 8-ounce and 16 ounces. I usually don't finish the whole thing. Like, no, I want the, give me the coffee. I paid for this coffee. Don't shame me, woman at the airport.
What I didn't pay for is your advice.
I know. She just looked at me and I was like, it wasn't even a complicated order. It was two black coffees. And she just looked at me and was like, oh, I'm sorry. Was one of these supposed to be decaf?
Or did
like,
you want to just hurt your baby?
Yeah. And I was like, I'm gonna risk it.
Guys, welcome back to Shaylee and Katie's Coffee Stand.
Shaylee and Katie's.
What are we talking about today, Shay?
We are talking about guys. We're talking about guys. And I mean a lot of guys. We would not be talking for very long if we were talking about guys. No, we're talking about home reno updates. Oh, I'm calling it the 5 stages of renovation.
Inspired by?
Subtitle, home reno, what have we done? Subtitle, time versus money.
Last week, we talked to Kelsey Baldwin, and we briefly hit on the stages of grief.
Five stages of grief. And she couldn't name them all. I think we left one out.
Yeah, we left one out, and Shaylee was so inspired.
I was so inspired.
That she's taking those stages.
You guys, I feel like being a very pregnant woman... going through home renovation, it was really helpful for me to read through them. I felt understood.
Yeah.
I felt, and this is my formal disclaimer up top, up at the tippity top. I'm not making fun of people going through grief.
Oh, right.
I'm a little bit not making fun of the people going through grief. I'm making fun of the 5 stages because I have switched it to home renovation, which I realize is not real grief.
Right.
And I've not lost anyone close to me.
It's tongue in cheek. If you're still listening to this podcast, you're our people. You get it.
If you are going through the 5 stages of grief right now, click forward because this will annoy you. Because I'm talking about a home renovation that at the end I get a home out of it.
Yeah.
Instead of losing a loved one. So I realize it's different. That's my disclaimer. But first, we have to thank our amazing fake sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Money.
Money.
Money. What happened? It's gone.
Money.
Thanks, yeah. Money.
It's gone. They paid us for the ad and gift cards. So we don't... And they're like gift cards that expire, so actually there's probably not money left on them if we wait too long before we cash it. So Yeah, that's money. Money is, you know, it's good that it's aligned with this episode, because that is something that you need for a home renew, even if you're doing it yourself, man, because you just swing by Lowe's or Menards or wherever, and it's like the money. It's like the guy in Christmas Vacation. The money is mine. And you're like, no, it's not. That's what Menards is saying when we leave. They're saying that the money is theirs. All right. So we're getting into this.
Let's do this. I'm so excited to hear what's going on.
So first of all, this is an all-encompassing update from the ground level of my home renovation as a pregnant mom of a toddler living with her parents.
Yeah.
And there's somebody who is just stocking those shelves.
We're at the library still.
With vigor outside. So if you hear tapes falling, that is correct. Those are DVDs falling. Okay. So ground level update of a home renovation from a pregnant mom of a toddler living with her parents. So that's a disclaimer of the place I'm in my life.
Oh my, when we keyword this, I just think hundreds of people are going to be like,
hundreds
too.
Of people. Right. Someone's going to Google that exact thing and be like, finally, there's a podcast for this.
Yeah. So welcome, okay. Nancy.
Welcome. So Nancy, you and I, girl, you and I, me, I don't even know anymore. Okay. So the stage one of home renovation is denial. I have definitions for each of these stages as well, in case you were confused about the five stages of home renovations. Okay, stage one, denial. Denial helps us cope and make home renovation plans that seem reasonable. Denial helps us grow our feelings of confidence in the speed of the process, and there's a grace in denial. It's nature's way of letting in only as much as we can handle.
Oh my gosh, it's
before
perfect.
We realize what we've done. There were a few keywords, you know, adjusted from the grief.
That's very perfect.
Yes. Yeah, so basically, please refer back to Home Reno 101, episode 87, to hear this full phase played out in a podcast episode. You'll hear what joy is. You'll hear plans and confidence.
You were like, you had a pep in your step.
And an unknown denial in my voice of the excitement of what we were about to embark in.
Did you know you were pregnant when we recorded that?
I don't know. We found out 2 days before we closed. So yeah, if we had, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
If we had access to the house, then yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we already knew.
Yep.
A denial. Again, a baby's not coming forever.
Right.
Do you know how long 9 months is?
Yeah.
It's forever, Katie.
I know.
Like, we're going to be
done.
We're going to be done with our house in like months, like two.
Yeah.
I think I said 1.5 to 3. I don't even remember where I was at in my time frame at that point.
Denial.
Okay. So our plan from the beginning was aggressive, even for an interior designer. So naturally, we made it more complicated as we went along. Denial is the phase that causes anyone to just do a home renovation because they've watched one episode of Fixer Upper and it's like, hey, this is a good idea. It won't be so bad. Okay. So I don't want this to be a depressing episode, but I want this to be a realistic update because I think sometimes when you see people's homes on Instagram or I have done very few story updates even, but like you see the updates and you think, man, they're like nailing it. Look at that. Like literally nailing it. Their house looks so good and it's just so easy for them and they made all the decisions and they made, oh my goodness. So this is my like, this is real talk of the process. Okay. Still glad I did it.
Yeah. You will be when it's over for sure.
It's coming. It's in
so
one,
pretty.
It's one of the stages.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not pretty yet. We're prettier. It's prettier than it was a couple months ago. So that's the first phase. I feel like this is the phase that is necessary. It's kind of like getting pregnant because it's kind of the denial of what's to come and it's really hard, but worth it in the end.
Yeah.
But if you never had, it's nature's way of protecting you. I mean, the definition says it perfectly. I don't even need to dwell on this stage for too long. Okay. So that's the stage one. If you have questions.
It's just enough to start the process.
Let me know.
Because you're going to finish it now.
Right.
It's a healthy denial to get you to like tear down that first wall.
Yeah, I remember the point when I was looking at the bank account and looking at the house, and I said, Jonathan, we have to scale back. And he goes, we have 4 gutted bathrooms. The time to scale back was before then. It's too late now.
Right.
And we ripped all of the vinyl, the like 30-year-old vinyl off the outside, because we were like, it's like Christmas. We just want to get it off and see what's under there. We just want to see the original woodwork, and it's going to be like so beautiful. It's going to be like a little surprise, and we'll you know, do that eventually because we're like, we're going to just nail this.
Right.
And you could've... we ripped it all off and now we're like, remember when we ripped it all off and now it looks like unfinished and so we have to finish the outside right. before it feels
so
done.
So you could have kept the vinyl on.
Left the ugly vinyl. That was fine.
Yeah, it was fine, yeah.
It was just, you know, it was, there were some, it needed to be power washed and fixed in places so birds didn't get up in there. But it was just like us being high maintenance or right. something. I don't know. We were just like, we want it off. We want the vinyl off. We want to see what's under there. And then we paid someone to take it off. And then now you have to pay someone to put it back. So, you know, digging in.
Right.
We dug in, man. Oh, there was no... Shit. We just... We dug straight in. Because we felt like the amount of money that we had was like... I mean, we've never just taken cash and thrown it at a house.
Right.
Like, we didn't even... We wanted to redo our floors the whole 6 years we were in our old house. And we
right.
never did it. Because we're like, that's going to be like $10,000.
Right.
Whoever, who has $10,000 I'm going to like put into a house? So we just never did it. And now we were like, it didn't feel like our money.
Right.
Because it was equity from a house we had just right. sold. That would never really, it entered our bank account, but we put it in its own bank account.
Right.
So it never really felt like our money.
Right.
So that's how this started, Katie.
Yes.
Again, Reno 101. You'll hear the joy in my voice. That's still there. It's just like a
Mom's
realistic
tired.
Joy. I'm the mom of four. Episode 87 was the first time mom who's pregnant and she's like taking her time. Like the nursery's decorated 6 months before the baby's here, which was me the first time.
Yeah.
The name is picked out and announced. She's doing belly updates once a week. When the kid gets here... There's like laying staged photos, but some people are still doing that on the third kid. And, you know, good for you. That's one thing. But I'm already like, I've not even like taken belly pictures this pregnancy. I'm just like, they know what I look like pregnant. It's happened before. Anyway, that could be the home reno too. I don't know. Okay. Stage, so that's stage one. Stage two, anger. So the truth is, this is the official definition from, you know, the internet. Stage two, anger. The truth is that anger has no limits. It can extend not only to your friends, the doctors, your family, yourself, and your contractors doing the actual home remodel, but also to God. You may ask, where is God in this? Underneath this anger is pain, your pain. It's natural to feel deserted and abandoned and even homeless, literally. So at different points in this process, I've been angry. We've been angry at each other. We've been angry at the contractors. I'm bringing Jonathan into this
now.
Okay.
Not me and Shayla.
Not Katie.
Well, at least you haven't told me.
Katie's been, I've not been angry. Maybe I've been angry at Katie. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. She brings me coffee. We've been angry at each other, the contractors, and just innocent bystanders. Shout out to the guy at Arby's who gave me two packets of ketchup when I specifically asked for a much larger number. And he even itemized it on the receipt. So there's nothing more annoying. This is total first world. I said, I want a lot of ketchup and Arby's sauce. Like a lot of it. And he was like, okay. And then he itemized the receipt. And I know everyone's saying, you got to check the bag. Arby's, specifically on Glenstone in Springfield, Missouri, is very stingy with their condiments. And so I was like the annoying person. And I went out of my people pleaser. My pregnancy overshadowed the people pleasing. And I just said, can I have just like a lot? Like a lot of Arby's sauce, a lot of ketchup. I was buying sandwiches for my mom. And so I looked at the receipt and he had like itemized like ketchup, Arby's sauce, Arby's sauce, Arby's sauce. And like seven of them. And I was like, yes, guy, you did it. I went home. Two. I had two of each for three adult meals. And I can eat like five on my own. Anyway, so I'm sorry. There was anger. My anger is internal more than external. I did not shout at the man. I didn't drive back, even though it crossed my mind. I wanted to drive back and been like, hey, see this receipt? I want to see who was supposed to fill it. You thought he was joking. I wasn't joking. I wanted the sauce. So getting frustrated, we're going to jump back from Arby's to the home. It can help put a little, you know, fuel under your fire. And it's also a good way to get a nice person to get the work done that needs to be accomplished.
Mm.
So for Jonathan and
I wouldn't like having to do that.
It took us getting, I'll use the word frustrated.
Right.
With contractors. I'll put an S. I'm sure they all listen to the podcast.
Yeah. They want to hear more from you.
They want to hear more from me. They probably don't even, I'm like hardly show up.
Right.
I mean, I do show up. But when I leave, then it's like Jonathan has like a list for them probably. It's like I like whisper. And then he's like, hey, so this bathroom, are we doing crown and the thing? And then I'm like, they know it's from me. Passive aggressive. But it's good fuel to the fire. So I think when Jonathan and I started, not only were we in the first stage of denial, but we were also very nice. And we also come from a world where when people say they're going to do something, they do it. But it seems like a simple concept. And I don't even mean that like we're like the best people in the world. It's just like, of course I didn't babysit you and micromanage you because you said you would do it. And I said, okay. And then we like wrote it down. And then we all move forward with our lives, right? And then you didn't do it. You didn't even try to do it. You weren't even here. You wouldn't even text me back. So, like, not only did you not, like, you really didn't do it. If you're going to not do something in my world, just communicate with me and say, hey, not going to hit this deadline. It's looking like it's going to be here. What can we do to, like, make this work for everyone? And then I'm a very reasonable person. And Jonathan's a very reasonable person. So then you get not as nice Jonathan and Shaylee, which I would say not as nice Jonathan and Shaylee is still like middle of the road normal person. Not that we're
but super you should nice. Hear what we say.
You should hear what we talk about at home. Yeah. And it's not even like horrible things. It's just getting to the point where you're like, all right, we have a baby coming and it's time to start moving on some things.
Right.
And if you don't, we'll find somebody who will.
Yeah.
So... just some strong words and like kind words, not bad words, but just really direct communication. We have learned a lot, which I think I would have said we knew. Like, I think going back to the denial phase, I would have said like, yeah, like we know how to communicate clearly. Like I do that with contractors for video stuff all day long. I communicate with all of our subs and our clients and like, I'm good at communication. We're good at managing and planning our schedules and whatever. So it's just kind of, it's like learning you're like switching job descriptions. It's like a whole new world. And then every contractor is totally different. Everyone's schedule is totally different. I would say the most frustrated we've been is just the lack of communication on the other end, because what we've found at least, and I will say, we did not hire, I'm sure if we went out and we hired a big company that came in and did all the general contracting themselves, because we're doing the general contracting ourselves, which is a full-time job, basically, this all would happen. We would not have to deal with it. You pay more for that, but they're doing that for you. So, like, if someone's out there like, you're making me not want to do this, like, you can hire, like, that's a job. Someone's right. Full-time job can be, like, sit at your house and manage the contractors all day long. So that's something that people make a living at and they charge
and now you
well
get it.
For it. Like, yeah, it's just like anything. When people are like, you work for a blog? It's like you're not even working. It's like, nope, if you work really hard at anything, it can be a full-time job.
Right.
Congratulations. So, I don't know, though, for us, I still don't think we would have chosen to go that route, because I think we would have wanted to save the money side of it. But we've learned so much about ourselves and how to do better at managing, and how being direct is sometimes better than nice.
Right.
Because what happens is the anger stage doesn't have to step in full force, because you're very clear with your communication and what your expectations are up front.
Right.
And you're on top of it. And even though that might make you seem not as kind in the beginning, it's also very clearly managing the expectations of what's expected and that you're not going to mess with.
So let's...
whatever.
Give me an example.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease,
essentially. You said you had to tell them, like, we expect you to be here at this time and to work every single day.
Right. And then the other problem is we have switched back between paying people in... this is like a practical application. So you can hire a subcontractor by the hour. Very similar. This is very similar to, like, the video business we run. It's just totally different. And when I say, like, type of person or worker, like, that does not mean, I don't want it to be, like, we deal with, like, business, video, technical people, and these are, like, workers. It just, right. I don't want it to come off like that. Like, my father-in-law paints and does that on the side, like, in Kansas City, and has had a painting business his whole life. So, like, we're very
we do stuff ourselves, and there's nothing against workers and craftsmen and whatever. It's just a different world that they live in, and a different right. time frame and communication. And because everyone I've talked to, the one thing that's made me feel not angry this whole time is everyone has the same story. Right. I feel like everyone kind of runs into the same thing. Everything's always a little bit over budget and a little bit over time. We've dealt more with the time frame is the issue. We're not over budget. We are, but it's because of us. We've added things. But it's more of just like, we'll throw more money at it if we can just get this done. So a practical example is like, it's all a puzzle piece. So you can't do the paint until you have the trim work. You can't do the trim work until you get the demo, and then you can't, or after the demo, you have to do the drywall, and then you have to do the mud and tape before you can do the paint. And then the tile guy's waiting for the paint and the trim to be done before you can do the tile. And then the floor guy's waiting for everyone. And so everyone's kind of waiting on everyone. So if you have one guy doing the mud and tape on the drywall, another guy hanging the drywall, another guy doing the demo and plumbing and electrical stuff, and then the tile guy separate, the floor guy separate, they all are there all the time. And then what it turns into is they start blaming each other.
Right.
Not even blaming, but it's like, well, I was waiting on that drywall.
Right.
So it's never anyone's fault, right. which is, I mean, human nature.
Right.
But it just turns into where either they're blaming us because we didn't schedule something the right way, or even if we did, and they were supposed to be done on a Friday so that someone else could start on a Monday, they'll be like, they just told me I had to be here by Monday. I didn't know he was going to show up at the weekend. And it's like, no, you knew Friday. You didn't need to know. So we ended up buying like a big calendar with like dry Sharpie. Like the little dry erase markers. So we can be like, everyone sees everyone's schedule.
Right.
And then you can't just pick a new date in your brain and make up something and throw another contractor or us under the bus because you chose to not. So it's just kind of a blame game sometimes, which our contractors have been great. But it just, you know, when someone does something and are getting in trouble for it, if like they failed, it's human nature to be like, well, I couldn't do my thing because...
Right.
That wasn't done over there in that bathroom, and I was waiting on this. So just managing that, which you don't think, I mean, all of our contractors are like 30 to like 80 years old, so you think that you won't have to deal with that, but then you realize, nope,
we're all just
13-year-old middle school girls. Right. At the end of the day, we're all just people blaming each other for everything.
Right.
Not taking responsibility. Okay, so that's stage two, anger. So... Stage three, and I'm gonna go through the more practical tips. Stage three is bargaining. So before a loss, it seems like you will do anything if only your home could be done. You might say, please God, you bargain. I will never complain about cleaning again if my house can just be done. During a home reno, bargaining may even take the form of a temporary truce. What if I devote the rest of my life to helping others? Then can I wake up and realize that this has all been a bad dream and we have a kitchen again? Again, choice words have been changed. Almost exact, though. So getting frustrated can help put fuel under the fire and get nice people to work, like we talked about. But bargaining, we have found, has also been helpful. So we've been creative with ways to pay... our subcontractors and found ways to like motivate them.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like I've bargained in my head with just our internal time frame this whole time of like dates. I think Katie asked like, what date are you planning to move in? And it's like all of them. We've thought of every date. Every month we pick a date and then we pick a new date the next month. And then we bargaining. We switched our refrigerator. We ordered appliances at Lowe's and we had our refrigerator scheduled to be delivered. And I think I changed it 4 times. And then finally we just returned it. Because at some point we'd have to have it delivered. And I'm like, to where? Our backyard? And so we just took it back. And then we just waited like 3 months. And then bought another refrigerator in the Black Friday sale. And like now are having it scheduled to be delivered in December. Oh, such is my life. So bargaining. The other good way that I feel like bargaining, not just with God. But... with the contractors is we've gotten really creative. So we have our main subcontractor. He is doing the majority of the work and he is one man. He has different people who will come in and kind of help him. But we agreed upon like a set price for the whole thing. So we've paid him draws. So we're at the point where, you know, maybe we have like a fourth of the amount left or, you know, a piece of it left, but he's basically not going to get that now until he's fully done with everything he needs to do. So we've probably paid him even a little bit before because, you know, the job's clearly taking longer than everyone thought.
Right.
And some of it's other contractors' fault. Some of it's, you know, his own schedule has been hit and miss sometimes. And so anyway, but he's at the point where like he's a single dad and like has a family and like needs to like be paid. So we've tried saying, if you get everything done by 2 weeks from now, like if you get this list done, like the whole second floor is completely done with all the electrical and we're ready to go by this date, we'll like give you an extra like $500 or $800. And it seemed like it was motivated, but it still wouldn't hit the date.
Right.
And so then we were like, okay, so he's not motivated by extra chunks of money. Like, okay, what can we do? So we found out.
Ice cream.
It's TVs. it's pineapple whip. No. So we got a new TV we got the frame TV like you have. Because I was like, we're going to have this like historical home and then like a big black TV on a white wall. And I feel like if we were to splurge on a frame, which we should not have done, it would be for here. So we did. But we had our old one that Jonathan was going to sell. So our contractor sat in the basement and he's like, hey, what are you hypothetically going to sell like this TV for? But we know that he's waiting to get paid his last straw until he finishes with the job. And he's like, totally can't swing it probably right now. And we're just going to sell it for like a couple $100 probably. Because it's, you know, 5 years old, which in the TV world is like dead. But it's a great TV. It's huge. It's really nice. It was our main TV we watched movies on before. And Jonathan's like a techie guy. So it's a really good one. So Jonathan basically said, look, you tell me the date. I won't even tell you the date. You tell me the date you're going to have everything done by for this list. And we're going to go through a punch list together. We're going to go through all of the things that you're going to finish up for like basically what he has left to do on our job. And then he said, and what I'll do for you is we'll switch to hourly. So we're going to wipe that last payment off, the payment that we owe you, and we're going to switch right now to hourly. That way you can get paid twice a week if you want. You can get paid every week because that's going to help him out financially. Right. And then that way if you end up working more hours or less hours or whatever, it's like a draw, which I don't think he's going to end up working less. But that way he can get paid for actual time he's there. And then he said, and then if you get done by the date that you give me and we agree upon right now on this contract that we're handwriting in our basement on a notebook paper probably, then you get the TV. You can just have it. Like, you get a TV! He has been so motivated. Wow. And what Jonathan did, which I don't know if they're like friends now, so I don't know if I'd agree with this, but he went ahead and let him take the TV. He let him take the TV and was like, it's not done by December 14th, you're bringing that TV back. And he's like, I will. And he's super sweet and honest.
See, my motivation would have gone out the window then.
Right.
To get the TV.
I don't know, he's gonna bring that TV back. so anyway, it's turned in, but even the hourly, switching him to hourly, which you would think would be.
Which that does agree with me.
Right. Yeah. It switches because now he has motivation, because before it was like, they gave me this chunk of money and the next chunk of money I'm going to get is going to be, it's so far off in my brain.
Right. That I can't even
work towards it. So I'm going to show up and work my butt off this whole week and still not going to get that money. And I still am hurting for money and I still have to feed my family and Christmas is coming.
Right.
And all of this stuff. And so it's like,
great idea.
Well, dude, we'll just switch you to hourly and then we'll pay you when you need to be paid. You can get paid in like, from our end, we're like, that's going to help him. I mean, it's like a perma budget. You can only spend the money you get for that week or whatever. So anyway, that's really, really helped us towards the end. So that's kind of another take on bargaining is be creative with how you motivate. Everyone's motivated so differently.
This is like a management episode.
Woo! Stage 4 depression. So our attention moves squarely into the present. Empty feelings present themselves. Grief, mourning, in our completed homes enter our lives on a deeper level, deeper than we ever imagined. This depressive state feels as though it will last forever. And it's important to understand that this depression is not a sign of mental illness. I left that one in because that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
This is the what have we gotten ourselves into phase of the renovation. So it's overwhelming and it makes you literally want to give up. And this is why you see homes on the market that are like, they were like hot in the middle of renovation and they just gave up and they're selling it as is. It's like half framed in.
Yeah.
You know, because you're like, oh, they ran out of money. And I'm like, no, they were depressed. You could get creative with like ways to get that finished. You could like give away a TV or whatever. But I'm like, I mean, sometimes, yeah, they just run out of money. Or it's an investment and they're like, it's not worth it with whatever. But I think that this is the phase when people are like, I just want to give up. Like, I don't even want to. Yeah.
I would give you any amount of money to make all these projects go away.
I thought in my head, like, so as is, could we just get our money back out of this? Which we could, potentially. Which I'm like, we just want to like cut and run and just live in my parents' apartment. And just like pay utilities and then like just be, like live in a one bedroom apartment in my parents' house. Because that sounds better to me right now than moving forward with this. So I've had the moment. So I truly think that house depression can be a real thing. I don't think it's the same thing as actual clinical depression. But the stage can make you not even want to go look at the house updates. Aww. And I think that that's when you're... instead of being like, I'm going to go see what's been done. And then you see that your bench that you got at Rachel Dimbo's garage sale that she made for a beautiful mess tutorial got overspray from the ceilings and then you lose your mind. That's the phase that I was in where it's like every time I went and I was like, I'm going to see what we've done. I'm like, you ruined the two things I had here. Which there's a way to take it off, I've heard. But I'm like, it's like a mid-century modern slatted bench. How did they think that that was a workbench? They just sprayed. And there was, like, stuff sitting on it. So when you take it off, it's, like, a geometrical pattern. Because it's, like, things were sitting, like, boxes and stuff were, like, meh, 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 meh. So it's kind of, like, anyway. Well. And then I had chairs that I bought that were, like, Magnolia Home high-backed black chairs. And yeah. They all are just, like, scraped up. Seriously? So every time I go, they're just, like, squished in the corner with just, like, drywall and wood and everything smashed around it. And I'm, like, everything is scratched up. Now I'm going to repaint these. And my husband's, like, it's a construction zone, Shaylee. Everything you put in here is going to get destroyed. I'm like, where could I have put them? And he's like, just don't worry about the chairs. Just, it's going to have, like, anything you put in here is going to be scratched. I'm just telling you. It's going to, like, they put their tools on my chairs. And so, anyway, I've had to get over that a little bit and let go of the chairs that I just bought that still felt expensive, even though I bought them from someone. And then also, know that it's a phase. So I feel like I went also through morning sickness the same time I was peeling wallpaper and it was very hot. And most of our house and windows were open and exposed. So that was a phase in there as well where I just didn't want to be there.
Right.
The smell of our new house made me sick.
Yeah.
Everything about it made me sick. Like, I couldn't do anything and the things I could do made me sick. And then I felt bad that I was sick and I didn't even look pregnant yet. And my in-laws didn't know. So I was, like, working for, like, a few days before we had announced. And then I was, like, peeling off probably asbestos wallpaper. My father-in-law was like, you're not pregnant, are you? I was like, and then later he was like, you were pregnant. And I was like, I didn't really lie. I just made sounds that maybe sounded like a no. But I'm sure that your baby's fine. I'm sure your baby's fine. Your grandbaby.
Spesty.
I'm going to name him Spestus. You're the Spestus.
I'm doing as best as I can.
That's a good joke. I should have used that. I don't even think wallpaper has asbestos in it.
No, I don't think that's a thing.
Okay. So for all of the people who are freaking out right now that we were peeling asbestos
wallpaper.
It's decaf, relax. It's old asbestos, right? Yeah. It's not like the new stuff that doesn't exist. Okay. So house depression. I think you just have to realize it's a thing and get over it as quickly as you can, but then be okay with the fact that it can feel overwhelming. So I think it's just not the, like, look at all the stuff that's done. It's focus on the progress you've made instead of the task at hand that still needs to be completed. Because that was my problem, is I would just be like, oh, and that needs to be done. Oh, and that. And then is that wall nicked? Because we just drywalled that wall and now it's nicked. And he's like, it's not finished. It's construction. Shaylee, it's construction. I'm like, what are you doing with that molding up there? Because it looks like a mess. And he's like, we just pieced it back up together. It still has to be caulked and painted. And I'm like, okay. And then what that's doing is also beating my husband down.
Right.
To where he's been working his little patootie off. And I come in and I'm like, what about that? What about this?
Right.
What are we doing here? And he's like, I was just wanted to show you how cool the wainscoting was, we just got up and finished. Like, my good thing, and you're complaining about everything. And that's when he also had the conversation with me, like, I feel like you don't even want to be at the house. And I had to be like, I don't want to be at the house. I don't want to be over there. The smell makes me feel like vomiting. So does the apartment smell. So does outside
smell.
Maybe it's me. Stage 4 depression.
Okay. Or Bopal.
Or Bopal. Stage 5. This is the last stage. I feel like this is a stage I'm in, Katie.
Okay.
This, which is why I'm doing this depressing episode, because this is a stage we're in. The last stage of grief. I mean, sorry. The last stage of home reno is acceptance. Acceptance is often confused with the notion of it being all right or okay with what's happened. That's not the case. Hmm. Most people don't ever feel okay or right about a home renovation that they've been through. This stage is about accepting the reality of our home, that it's physically demolished, and recognizing that that is our new reality. And we will never like this reality, but eventually we will accept it and learn to live with it and hopefully live in it. This is the new norm which we must learn to live, and we must now try to live in a world where we don't have toilets. We actually do have toilets now, but they're just not plumbed yet. I mean, they're plumbed, but it's just not. I don't know where the stuff would go. It wouldn't be connected to the appropriate places if we went in it right now. So, acceptance. One of the main things I've learned along the way is that you're up against two main things that pull against each other the entire home remodel: time and money. If you want a good deal on a bid, be prepared to wait, and sometimes wait more. Mm. And disclaimer, this isn't a blanket statement that covers all people, but let's just say most. So if someone's like, my husband's always on time, and he's a contractor, and I'm sure he's great. I'm sure he never misses a deadline. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the, like, 5 people we've chosen.
Right.
I've had a 5. Right. And, like, 98.9% of the people I talk to are kind of in the same boat. So if you want the entire place done in 1.5 months, it's doable. Because believe me, I drive past a house in our neighborhood that's a complete new build on an empty lot. And it's like, how did they do that so fast?
Right.
Shout out Rhodes Construction in Springfield. I was like, oh, that's what happens if you pay the high price for the really good people. Is they just, right. they do it. They plan right. it, and then they start it, and it's done. So I'm like, they're building a whole house, and we're just redoing the inside of one. But you're going to pay 3 times more for that, or whatever. That's a guesstimate. But literally, we look at our house and what we're spending, and we're like, we're probably getting the value of like 1.5 times what we're actually putting in it, as far as what we would pay if we gotcha. Just like paid yeah. like a company to come in and like just do it all uh-huh. for us. So you just have to decide what's more important for you. I'm
mental
sure
health
mental or health
money.
Or and there is a way to do it for less but still hire a general contractor that's maybe less expensive than a larger company that has, you know, architects and everything working uh-huh. for it. So I think that was more for us. We're like, we don't need an architect. We don't need a designer. Like, I'm a designer, and we'll just hire a structural engineer to come in when we need them, and hire a master plumber and electrician when we need them to check things out. Like, we're good. So again, I think that the fact that it ended up happening while I was pregnant was unplanned. The fact that we had to move out of our first house before we started this project. I think if you have the ability to stay in your current home while you're doing another one.
Yeah, but then that's money too.
Oh, totally money. I mean, you have to be able to float 2 mortgages right. and then you're paying for 2 mortgages while you're dumping money into a house. So right. you would have to be pretty like set to be able to do that. So if you can do that, like,
then you could probably hire a general contractor.
You probably,
you know what I mean?
If you can do that, this episode's not for you.
Right.
No, but true. That's very true. Right. Or I mean, there's certain type of creative loans that you can do to where you don't have to hold both loans per se, but you do have to cover both house payments.
Yeah.
And then you run into like, will my house sell? Which our market was like insane. So our house sold in 5 days or something crazy. So anyway, but also, I don't know. I've never lived through a home renovation. So Katie's going to fill us in on if that's more or less stressful yeah. than living with your parents during a home renovation. Which living in my parents' house is not stressful for any other reason other than it's a tight space.
Right.
And all of our stuff we thought was going to be in a pod for 1.5 or 2 months. And it's been there for 6, almost.
But see, that's also a time money thing.
Yeah. We're paying $350 a month to keep our lives in 4 boxes at U-Haul.
Right.
U-Haul has a thing. They're not called pods. They're called U-Boxes.
Yeah.
They're much cheaper than pods. So if anyone's looking, check out U-Haul for that. Shout out U-Haul. Not sponsoring the episode, but they've been very helpful. And it's slightly climate controlled, which we were worried about the heat. But now that it's December, we're still glad they're climate controlled, because we've hit 100 degrees and 10 degrees since our stuff's been there. So we'll see if my essential oils made it. So, yeah. So, just deciding what's more important to you, time versus money, what you have. And then maybe it's not even a, maybe you have a finite budget and you say, we have $50,000 to spend or whatever, but we're going to do less work so we can hire it done fast. Then do $50,000, maybe try to do $70,000 worth of work on a $50,000 budget and know that it's potentially going to take longer. So, just knowing that going into it, I mean, you can hop back up to stage one of denial and like say, we're going to be different, which is kind of what we did. But then when you get to the acceptance stage, you realize, nope, it's pretty much boils down to like time versus money. And this whole time, even when we're like, if you don't do this contractor, we're going to find someone who will, in the back of our head, we're like, but we would pay three times as much if we bring another guy in here. I'm like, actually, I don't know if anyone's available right now.
So I really just need
everyone's really busy. So can you just take this TV and get it done? Anyway. So then I will also say levels of labor. There's a clear, so for us, we found, which we live in the Midwest, don't tell me we've been like doing well. I won't tell you what I'm paying. Who knows? Maybe I will. We found a clear drop-off point of when someone's charging under a certain dollar amount per hour, they're probably on meth. But no, like really, like we had one contractor who was on meth for sure. That amount is more than minimum wage in New York City, I will say. But for us, we found this really sharp guy who come in and mud. He was the best drywall mudder Jonathan's ever seen. And he goes, I just like to work nights. First red flag. I like to work nights. I'm going to come in and work like 6 to like 6 a.m. Like all through the night. And we're like, this is awesome because then he's not in anyone's way. He's like getting stuff done. And the night's like a little elf. It's like a little methy elf that comes in. And so then Jonathan was like, I think he might be on something. And I was like, on something like prescription drugs, or not to take lightly the opioid issue in our country. But I was just kind of like, is he on something that makes him like chill? Like, is he smoking weed and taking prescription drugs? Or is he on something like bath salts where he's going to eat my face off? Because there's a different level of like, it's okay if he wants to like dabble in substance abuse as long as he's med and taping the house. Okay, I'm going to be honest. He's there overnight. I'm not living there. So I was like, what kind of something do you think he's on? And he's like, oh, I think it's something just like maybe like pills or something. I'm like, okay. Which I don't know what meth form it comes in. I don't think it's pills. Anyway, so then it escalated to where it's like, no, he's on something. And then he started taking tools from like other contractors, and like we have video cameras in there. So like we just like watch him like walk down and like take a tool. Cause one of the other contractors, like, he took my tools in the basement. He wasn't even working in the basement. Jonathan like got on the camera and was like, yeah, I just walked down there and took the tools. And so then Jonathan was like, contractor A is texting me about the tools that meth contractor took from him that I saw. So now Jonathan's like, now I'm in the middle having to text one contractor to be like, give him his tools back. We saw you take him. And he goes, oh, I got confused. I thought they were mine. Downstairs? Like, I don't know. It was just this mess. And then they, like, knew each other. And then the one guy went and talked to the other guy. And we're like, you can't build our house if you're not talking to each other. And Jonathan was like, I'm not going to be the middle of this mediating. Like, you're going to have to talk to each other. Or one of you has to go. Like, it's probably the one on meth. Spoiler. Anyway, So we didn't know he was on meth at that point. Once we found out that it was indeed most likely meth from another contractor that knew him, we paid him for his work.
And we sent him on his way.
And bid him adieu and changed the locks.
Oh, boy.
Because, he had a key because he worked there overnight. So anyway, but then it's like you look back and you're like, oh, yeah, he was on meth. Like, what were we thinking? And I think he stole our, 99% sure, he stole our neighbor's double jogger stroller. And she's pregnant with her 9th child. And I was like, he stole Jenny's stroller. We need to buy her another one. But we can't afford it because of this house. So anyway, it's just the TV. Yeah. So I should just give him the TV. A different contractor. So anyway, I found like there's a clear drop off for us of like, it'd be great to get labor cheaper than this. But this is the quality labor level. Right. And we've yet to find anyone who's not quality. However, Jonathan still says, we've had a couple drywallers since then, and he still says, man, no one is as good as he was. It was just, if it was only just not the meth. It's like, he didn't make a meth. He did a great job.
Yeah, he was totally tidy. He
didn't, smooth.
He didn't ever make a mess.
Meh.
And if he did, he'd clean up his meth. You know what I mean?
He didn't. No meth unturned. Uh-uh. No meth left behind.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
But meth is a true problem in our community, actually. So
yeah,
we don't need to be taking it lightly. We probably helped fund a little bit of that problem, too. So that's kind of another level.
Yeah, now you have to live with that.
I know. Oh.
What a meth.
Oh. My life is a meth. Okay.
My life is a meth.
So.
I'm going to hire a general contractor. I'm going to hire a builder.
Well, I feel like we've found a really happy median for contractors. So we found some that are like low enough cost-wise that they're not on meth, but then we pay them enough to where they're happy and they want to do a good job. So, and we do have, I've been like joking about contractors. Our contractors have really been great. And we have two guys who are like really good older men. They're like close to 80, yeah. But like they're the best and they're like the hardest workers and they get the most done. Cause at first I was like, does he have a cane? I don't want someone, like, we're paying about the hour and he has a cane, but he's like the best guy ever. And then like our floor guy's really awesome. Our tile guy's really awesome. And they, you know, no one does it like they did. They take pride in their craft and right. they work hard and it's great. So don't be afraid of older people. In general, and then your home remodel. Okay.
But I'm scared.
Their face looks different than my skin. My elasticity. No, they're like the sweetest, and they're the sweetest with my kids, and all the contractors are sweet. They've all given Opal books and toys and sweet pink hard hats. And okay, so I think this is the phase where we've settled and we're like in a good place. And that's good because it's the last one, so I don't know what we would do past this. Okay, we'll move in. Our phase six is moving into the house. So now we're in the let's order our kitchen faucets and our lighting phase, which feels so much closer because it's the finishing phase. Our upstairs, the floors have actually been finished, like the final finish, and they're covered. And now it's like, nobody move or go upstairs, except for that one bathroom that's still not done because gotta go up for that. But we're also like, there's like literally a light fixture at the end of the tunnel, which is nice. I was like, see, throw up for you, Katie. And also we're getting more realistic with fully moving in dates. So even though we've said six times that we know the date, we actually have one where I feel like we're sticking with it.
What is it?
January 2nd. What we've done, our plan was to wait until I was in my third trimester and it was the dead of winter. And we had like 6 weeks before the baby was going to get here. And we're like, let's move in that date. That feels like it's good. That's a good date. But just to take you quickly through the timeline, and then I'll wrap this up. Quickly through the timeline, we originally said August. I think end of August was our first, phase one denial.
Which would have allowed how much time total?
I mean, September, October, November, December, January. Six months. I have 6 months before. Oh, how much time from when we started?
Yeah.
Our first full month, we closed the end of June. So July, August. That would have been, 2 months and some change.
Yeah.
And we've now gone, so we've worked, yeah, like, bah, oh, we look back at things and we're like, we got to get all the can lights in and get all the holes cut so my father-in-law can paint this in the first 6 days after we close. And now we painted them 4 months in. It was like, remember when we thought that was going to be done in 6 days? That was hilarious. So we've officially been working on the house all of July, all of August, all of September, all of October, and all of November. So that's 5 full months, and we're planning on finishing everything up for the full month of December. Yeah. When we first moved into my parents' apartment, and then my dad saw the house, he goes, you better start setting up that Christmas tree. And I was like, that's not even funny, Dad. It makes me want to vomit. And now we're like, so we'll be here for Christmas? I've already talked through with Opal, so we're going to have to write Santa a letter and tell him since we don't have a fireplace, we'll leave the back door unlocked. He can come in through the kitchen, because that's less creepy than a fireplace, right? We'll just sneak him in through the kitchen. Or I guess he could leave presents it, but it's part of my not caring, and it's not a depressive, maybe it is, I don't know. I don't even care to decorate for Christmas. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to put one more piece of anything in this apartment or the floor's going to fall in, and I feel like I'm claustrophobic already. So I'm like, we can visit Nanny's Christmas tree in her house 3 yards away. All my Christmas stuff is in a pod.
Yeah.
All my winter and fall stuff's in a pod. All my maternity stuff is in a pod because I packed it before I knew I was pregnant.
Yeah.
So it's kind of I'm doing a capsule wardrobe for 6 months, but it wasn't.
It looks great.
Thank you. It wasn't planned.
I like it.
let's just say, don't listen to this star. I took out an Old Navy credit card. And we just bought some fall wardrobe items to get us through this fall and winter.
There you go.
Me and Jonathan and Opal. And people kept saying, your sweaters match. And I'm like, because we're an Old Navy commercial right now. Our full family of three is outfitted by Old Navy. Brought to you by oversized shirts on sale at Old Navy with my pregnancy belly. So anyway, we're at a good place. So you might ask yourself at this point, since you're just wanting to hear me talk more about this, I'm sure. What all have you done? I made a rapid fire list of everything that we've done to this house.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
In the last 5 months. And by we, I mean those contractors that I love dearly and my husband, and then I've helped guide them with my voice in disdain and anger. Just kidding. Demoed. And then we demoed again. Like a perfectly fine kitchen, three fine walls, and a perfectly fine basement. All of it. It's just gone. Everything. We didn't demo all the way back to the studs. We didn't take out all of the lath and plaster, but we basically opened up three walls. The kitchen we were going to leave, we redid the kitchen. There was like, we were going to leave one bathroom. We gutted every single bathroom, everything, floor, ceiling, everything. And the basement is now, I'm letting Jonathan just, the basement's kind of like an afterthought. We're going to move in and then finish the basement. And it was like half finished and now it's completely gutted. Like every piece of drywall is out of there and Jonathan's making his master plan of a movie theater room. So we'll see. That can be next update. We fixed all the plaster. We filled in the walls with rock wool, which is a sound-absorbing insulation that Jonathan is very excited about.
Yeah.
We re-drywalled areas that we ripped up. And then they had to be mud and taped and prepped to paint, which is quite the process that I would not... I've been like, you slap the drywall up and then you paint it. But there's like this hole in between if it's not done right and it's not mud and taped correctly, then your walls look like a mess. Basement redo. We updated all of the plumbing and electrical in the entire home because 1925.
Yeah.
A new custom kitchen cabinets, countertops, and appliances. We kept the stove in the hood, but we're having it enclosed in wood. Yeah. And then we updated and added lighting throughout on all the floors, including the attic. So can lights or center lights for rooms that didn't have lights. And extra like lights up the stairway and that kind of thing where there weren't lights. Wood stair planks we replaced down to the basement and up to the attic. So these were old rickety kind of, you know, when you step on them and you're like, am I going to fall through that? Is it rotting? There was a little bit of termite damage that had been fixed but was still there in the basement one. And then up to the attic, we peeled off the carpet, but it was the type of thing like by the time you like refinish it, our floor guy was like, you know what? It'd be probably easier and cheaper if we just replace them. And he's like, I'll do it for free if you just buy the planks because it'll be easier for me. And we were like, yes.
Awesome.
Go for it. We had a structural engineer out to make sure the walls that we opened up would not fall through the whole thing. And we reinforced the floor in the basement. So in the basement for the main floor and then also on the main floor for the upstairs in two places because our house is actually really structurally sound for an old house. There's not a lot of like wavy floors or anything, but we just like, well, we're in here. Might as well just throw some beam. You know, it's $150 to buy the beam. Let's just reinforce it just to make it a little bit more stable. So, and we're adding a washer and dryer upstairs. So that will help support that as well. We rebuilt the outside corner of our home that we found out was not great. It was like a, from the bottom, we rebuilt the foundation piece of it. It was an addition part. And then part of the corner had some water damage from that old vinyl. So it was kind of rotted. So we're just rebuilding it all the way up.
Wow.
The three floors, if you count the basement. We had the brick all tuck pointed and replaced or sealed on the whole outside.
Wow.
We still have to do the front steps. We're adding boxes slash wainscoting on the whole first floor and up the stairway. There was a lot of chair rail, but we're just basically adding boxes underneath it and painting it with trim paint. Thanks to Katie's husband. He's like, are you drinking this trim paint? I'm like, there's just a lot of stuff. I'm sorry, Jared. And he's like, I mean, don't apologize. You're buying it from me. It's a lot of trim paint. We repainted everything. Ceilings, all trim. Windows, doors, walls. Refinishing every wood surface in every square foot of the home.
Oh my goodness.
All of the wood floors, all the carpet's gone, and we are redoing all of the tile in the bathroom floors. We were going to try to keep some of the 100-year-old tile, but we're replacing it with something similar because it was in pretty rough shape. And then all the bathrooms got new tile up to sides because they had been replaced in the 50s. So they were like 1950s tile. Those like square green tile. It wasn't historically accurate. And then we gutted 3 bathrooms and added 2 more bathrooms. And then one in the master, a new bathroom in the master, and then one in the basement. And then we're adding a bedroom in the basement and a theater room that's TBD, the deadline, because our basement's a mess right now. But that's going to be for like what we finish when we end. So that's the list for like by the time we move in, this will all be done of what we've done so far. And then our phase 2, even though I said, don't have a phase 2 because you'll never do it. But our phase 2 is in like, even if it is in order of our phase 1, like it happens immediately after, it's going to be like, but we're in the house when phase 2 happens. So phase 1 is before we move in. Phase 2 is going to be finishing up the basement, refurbishing and fixing any of the wood, original wood exterior soffits and corbels and siding that we can, because most of the house is brick, but there is some siding in the back and then all of the little pillars and stuff. And then the exterior, and then things like digging a French drain and making our garage a pull through are things we still want to do. Whew. Yeah, that's an exhaustive list.
It's literally everything you touch.
Everything you touch.
Inside the house. I mean, there's...
We're keeping a tub and a pedestal sink that are really cool and original cast iron, but we're having them refinished. And then all of the like hardware, shower faucets and shower heads and all of the things, Katie. It
okay,
is
so just tell people stylistically, like what colors did you choose? Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. shape of tile did you choose and why?
Okay, so yeah, that's probably most of the details people care about, as I feel like bathrooms and kitchens. Colors, we're painting it all white. If you're curious, Jonathan thinks this white is too bright for the house for the historical age because now he is a historian. We bought a 1925 house and he's immediately like a historian. And I'm like, why do you never cared? Why do you care so much? He's like, I wish you would have gone with more of a cream. I'm like, you said you wanted it bright. But we're using Sherwin-Williams. Sorry, Benjamin Moore. We're color matching Benjamin Moore paint with a Sherwin-Williams 7005. Thank you, Jared, Day Florist Company, for anybody who needs paint in the local Springfield or greater Springfield, Marshfield area. So anyway, it's great color. I love it. It's the color our last house was. So we're painting all of the trim, all of the ceilings. Ceiling's just white paint, but all of the trim and all the walls, the 7005 color. It's pure white.
And then how dark is the floors?
The floors are like a medium. I have a picture of them. They're not, we took out a lot of the orange and yellow that they were before and try to go with more of an original of what they would have been back in 1925. So it has a little bit more of a, I think it's the, it's not real red. It's a really kind of true brown, medium tone. You can see the wood grain really well. It has maybe like a little bit of the mahogany in it. Uh-huh. So like if it was going to lean anywhere, it would be red, but there's definitely no orange or yellow. And it's not gray. It's not really dark. It's not modern looking. But it really, it's modern for the house because most of the houses that age, they seem to be more yellow.
Yeah.
So the floors will be that. We did like a really intricate pattern, like geometric tile wood. It's not tile. The tile is really popular right now, but it's the wood planks we've had done in the geometric pattern in our kitchen and entryway in the half bath.
Which is 3 tones of wood.
It's 3 different shades of wood that are in their natural habitat, and then we'll just do like a natural stain on it with no color. And then in the bathrooms, my husband has decided, I say my husband, it's just because I'd be like, subway tile's great. But we were kind of like, there's just so much subway tile. But I argued subway tile is popular because this house.
Right, 1925.
Because of 1925, everyone has subway now. So, but he was like, but everyone has subway. It's going to be the square little 4x4 tile of the 50s that everyone's ripping out soon.
Right.
I don't know. This is him. If you have it and you just installed it, it's great.
Right.
From a designer. But we've chosen to go with a lot of the 6x6 white tile. So it's bigger than the normal square. It's not beveled like the 1950s tile. We're doing it with a dark gray grout. And then we're stacking it. We're like offsetting it, bricking it, not stacking it. To where the lines are offset. And so we're doing that, like floor to ceiling and all the showers. We're trying to decide whether we want to do that in the kitchen. This is our splurge at the end when we have no money left. I think I'm going to do, the kitchen has floor to ceiling like all the way up for 9 feet, white cabinets on the shaker uppers. Style. Yes, shaker. And then we're going to do like the cup pulls, probably brass, maybe black. And then we have quartz that looks like the marble veining on the countertop. And then like a high back farm sink. We got our farm sink just in the kitchen, not the bathroom.
Yay.
And then we're doing possibly the 6x6 tile again, because that would be the only 6x6 tile on the first floor. But we're not 100% sure. We're probably pulling the trigger on that this week. But we're doing floor to ceiling and the whole kitchen. So like even around the window and the cool. wall without cabinets on it and like the doorway.
I love that.
And Jonathan, I think our tile guy thinks we're crazy because he's like, they'll just look at a big icebox. Look at a big refrigerator. Everything's white. And it's all the way up. I'm like, it's going to be beautiful. But I think we're doing in the front area, I think we're doing a really dark green on the walls. And then the wainscot will be white. And then I think so when you walk in, it's the first room. I think we might go like a really dark green, like dramatically dark. And then that's where the fireplace is. And so all the trim will be white. And then when you walk in the middle room where our TV is going to be, it'll all be white. And then when you walk in the dining room, kitchen area where the table's going to be, we might do wallpaper. Jonathan was like up. He's like, I was up till 2 a.m. last night. I was finding some of this wallpaper and like turned it and it's like Anthropology.
And you were
it's
like
green and the lim-. I was like, yes, anywhere you want it. I will put that everywhere. What?
Cool.
So, and it would have some green in it so that it's almost like color, no color, color. Yeah. And then you go in our kitchen and it's all white, no color. So, yeah.
So what tile would you pick if you don't do the...
White 6x6
yeah.
squares. The thing I like about the squares is that they're not busy because with the floor,
right,
the pattern is so crazy on the right. floor that we're kind of going neutral with everything else.
Yeah.
So if we picked like a decorative tile pattern or even like a small octagon or anything like that, I think that it would be like too much, uh-huh. like too busy.
Yeah.
So we'll probably go like that. Honestly, if we didn't do that, we'd probably do a wide subway tile.
Yeah.
So like a really long... subway-ish, so like a larger than average subway tile, uh-huh. one that's like 3 times longer than the normal. I don't know what if it's like 12 yeah. or 24 inches, uh-huh. but probably that. And then we can't decide between gray and white grout in the kitchen. We've done dark gray everywhere in all the bathrooms.
Yeah,
but the kitchen, the dark gray just makes it more busy.
Right.
So sometimes in a kitchen, if you have a lot going on with like open shelving that's contrasting, or which we don't, but.
But your floor is really like
our floor is popping. Crazy. Yeah, yeah.
Like and if you're doing it on a whole wall,
like all the way to the ceiling, right, I think we might stick with white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot wait.
I'll do a photo walkthrough when we're done. So in 2 years from now, I'm just kidding. But okay,
you have a 2-year-old baby son.
When I have a 2-year-old, I will walk you guys through. Nope. Okay, main takeaways. I have 5, and then we're going to do the segment, and I'm going to let you guys go because this has been a rambling episode, a depressing rambling episode. Now, hopefully it's encouraging, but realistic.
Yeah.
That's what I was aiming for. So main takeaways and advice for others starting or going through their own home remodel. Katie, this for you.
Hire okay. a builder.
No. Eventually your home will be done, right? So in the larger worldview, it's a pretty good thing to be stressed out about. You're getting a home and a better home. And that's something to be thankful for. And so even if you're broke after it, at least you have a home to remodel, right? And you're putting equity into something that it's like good value. It's not like dropping 50 grand on a car that like loses its value immediately.
Right.
This is a mantra I've repeated to myself a lot. Like you have a home to remodel. Be thankful. Stop complaining in your head about yourself. 2, decide what's most important to you, time versus money. Even goes for small jobs, even if you're like, I'm just doing like a half bath.
Right.
That I've waited. Same thing. What's most important to you? Do you want the guy that has a full-time job and can do it for cheap because he only works on weekends?
Right.
Then that's fine, but it's probably going to take 2 months.
But also, can I just double click on this?
Yeah.
You and Jonathan work together as teammates 100% of the time, even in your own business.
Correct.
Where your job is project manager and you give him things he has to do and he does them, and that is a normal situation. You guys already know how to do.
Yes, we function in this every day.
You function in this every single day. I fear that if Jared and I were just to step into that role, so it's not just to me time versus money, it's time versus money
and
versus
marriage.
Having someone else manage it and not
That's
me
true.
Manage my own husband and whether he's being hard enough on other people,
because
I don't
true.
Think that.
And I would say if Jonathan was here right now sitting with us, he would say it's been, I mean, home remodels are hard on marriages.
Yeah.
I've known marriages that have literally don't exist anymore.
Really?
that the straw happened during a home remodel. It's not only the home remodel. There were other issues.
Obviously, yeah.
Clearly. But the home remodel was the straw that broke the camel's back. Or the marriage.
So it's time versus money versus, to me...
Time versus money versus marriage.
Versus what's going to be healthiest.
Healthy. Totally
for the
true.
Whole family.
Totally true. During this time. And you know what? There's no... I would say the stressful part isn't living before you started it. The stressful part is when you're in it. So if you need to wait until you can afford to just, like, hire someone to do it...
Right.
I will say it's much easier managing a small, like, we're doing one bathroom and we're going to have one guy do everything for one bathroom... Much easier to manage on yourself. I don't necessarily think you need to go hire a big company. But like Kelsey Baldwin redid her whole kitchen.
Right.
And I was like, use this company that's really awesome because you're a single mom and you don't need to be dealing with all the contractors while you're trying to work and raise your child. And she did. And it was great and beautiful and whatever.
Right.
And it's done. So definitely that. That's a very good point to throw in. So in the main difference as well, even if you're not hiring a general contractor for a small job, if you hire a company that is more expensive, they're probably going to bring in 4 to 6 guys and knock it out.
Right.
That's another reason they're faster. It's not even because like the guys are working harder. And they're going to go to their next job. It's like when you hire a lawn company and they bring 4 guys and then they're like, and then they're gone. You're like, it's done. That would have taken us 4 hours to do. It's the same thing. It's not saying that the single guy working on the job is not doing as good of a job or working as hard. It's just one guy versus a team of people.
Right.
So you're going to pay more for a team of people, but they get in and they get out. And if you're living in the house, sometimes that's worth it. Number 3, don't have a brain aneurysm over a house. Try not to. It sounds like a joke, but home remodels are no joke. This is where I say, I know couples whose marriages have fallen apart. But seriously, if you don't handle transitions well or you don't work together under stress, Katie, you were so smart. You had my point before. Maybe you find a house that's already done.
Right.
Home remodels aren't for everyone. My brother and sister-in-law are like, I don't think we'd just rather buy it done. And I'm like, you know what? Like, now that I've done it too, I'm like, that's totally an option, right? Like, that's what builders make a living at, right? Do that. That's great. Labor of love, but it's definitely added stress for people who already feel like they're on the edge or that's something that they just don't want to deal with.
Right.
Like, why add another dynamic? 4, be confident in your choices, but flexible when needed. And direct. So don't be the wishy-washy person that, like, makes a decision and then your random tile guy's like, oh, are you sure you want to go? I'd be like, yeah, I do, because this picture looks awesome. I've seen it.
Right.
And it's going to be great because everyone has their own opinions. Right. Everyone has their own styles. And there's a difference between, like, owning your decision and being direct, which is what people need to do the job.
Right.
But at the same time, be flexible enough to listen to other opinions. So you don't have to take them.
Right.
But if they give you an opinion of, like, yeah, but if you do this, the water's going to get here and it's going to make all of your tile fall apart in the mortar. Don't be like, I've made the decision and on Pinterest, it's beautiful. You know, there's times where you're like, that's a great point, tile guy. Let's do that because you do this for a living. So... be direct with your choices if they're just, like, personal things that you know are going to make you happy, but then also listen to the advice if they have a really valid point. Don't be, pressured. Because sometimes we'll be like, are you sure that's the right decision? I'm like, wait. The 75-year-old said that he didn't know if he thought we should tile all the way to the ceiling because it's, like, a new thing. Like, no, that's fine. I'm comfortable saying no. I don't care what you think, 75-year-old tile guy. 5, enjoy every minute of it. This is a joke, kind of, but try to look at it as a journey. This is like the lady in line that's like, enjoy every minute of it while your kid's melting down. But you'll eventually be done and you'll look back and laugh about the guy on meth that was drywalling your home, working overnights. How did we not know, right? And I think Opal will also have some memories of like, tape measures, and she knows the word fiberglass now, and sometimes there's saw blades around that now she knows she can't touch. She's not touched any saw blades. She did touch fiberglass, and so now she'll point out and be like, fiberglass. Like, yeah, what happens if you touch it? Needles, hundreds of needles in your hands. So it'll truly be a home that we've created together, which is something cool.
Aww.
And that is it.
And the nice part, too, is you, like, you're going to move in. And instead of being like, and then next is this bathroom.
Right.
And then that bathroom. When we're done with that, you're just going to be like, oh, it's done.
My dad was literally, who's like super conservative with spending money and everything. And he was like, do it now. He's like, if you don't do it before you move
you'll
in,
do it.
Then you won't do it. It'll be 10 years. Your kids will be grown. You'll be like, remember that bath we were going to do?
Right.
It's time. And now, Katie, you might be worried about Jonathan and Shaylee's marriage because you're like, that sounds like a lot of stress. But I thought it'd be a great time to do another installment of our crowd favorite segment.
Oh, yeah.
Which is... sex. From our husbands. Okay, so this is where Katie and I read real texts from our husbands in a sexy way.
He was waiting in the parking lot of Michael's while I was going in to get a 50% off Christmas tree.
Oh. Oh, this is the context?
Yep.
Okay.
Which I'm not supposed to provide.
Context.
Yep. The only trees left in this store are the display trees and mine. I might get punched. He says, don't make eye contact and keep a submissive posture, but don't let go of that tree.
Sexy. Sexy. Don't let go of that tree. We want that Christmas tree.
Yeah. It's 50% off.
Okay, I'll do...
Michael's.
I'll do one from Jonathan. This is a sad one. It involves your husband. Can I bring him into it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, it's real. It's confusing and sexy.
I'm going to go by the house and make us lunch. Do you want tacos or a turkey sandwich?
Ooh.
Turkey, I guess. Or peanut butter and jelly. Okay. Also, there's only $200 left in our home remodel account, and we need to figure out where we want to transfer it before I call and pay Jared for the paint.
Ooh.
Sure. I'll bring coffee home. And that's it. And we transfer that money so hard. I still haven't paid your husband, though. I'm coming for you, Jer Bear. Guys, you can do it. I believe in you. Just remember, go through the five phases beforehand, and you'll be prepared. Five stages. Five phases. Don't do it. Don't remodel your home. Just buy it done.
Be content!
Just buy it done. Just... the bathrooms worked. Our toilets worked before. They looked worse, but they worked. So who really won?
Who really is right?
On the next episode, we're talking about pelvic health. So get excited. If you don't know what a pelvic floor is, you need to listen. Because we all have one, and a lot of us have pushed babies through them. And, you know, there's things associated with that. So
lots of things.
Stay tuned.
Necessary.
Melissa schools us with her knowledge. I sweat. I sweat a lot in this one.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Also, feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Seriously. We love you.